Well, good morning. Glad to be here. This is pretty neat. Normally don't get to preach in churches that we're training and coaching. It's been a lot of fun getting to know Nick and some of your church over the last 5 or 6 months. Met Nick maybe 9, 10 months ago and was so encouraged by his heart. I saw a pastor that wasn't burnt out. You know, he's got a lot of energy, stamina, and the Holy Spirit, this joy in the Lord, genuineness about him that I really appreciated. And Nick, his heart was for his church to make an impact on this community, on lostness, on making disciples, and that's why we became friends. And so it's been a lot of fun as we've been learning your church's vision, your heart, learning more about Carville, the need for ongoing work of making disciples, multiplying churches in this community. We've had a team come along, do some training. Nick has been sharing these little tools. You might have gotten tired of those little illustrations, maybe three circles or something like that. But I want you to know that we're praying for you. We're praying for Carville Bible Church. The building, the size of your church means absolutely nothing to me. It means absolutely nothing. But it really has everything to do with the content, with the people in your church. Are we worshiping in spirit and truth? Are we abiding in Jesus? Do we have the Father's heart on our heart? And I am believing and praying, and others are as well, that God would use you. That He would use you in this community. He would use you amongst your friends and your family and your network of relationships. Because you guys have jobs and you have families. You have neighbors that are far from Him that need to hear the gospel. They need someone to love them, to pursue them, to be intentional with them, right? And God wants to use you as a doorway of salvation for many people, in Carville and beyond. I really believe that. So I hope that you're praying that God uses you, uses Carville Bible Church to make a substantial impact, an eternal impact. For one day, we're going to be in heaven, as we just sang that song about seeing Jesus face to face. Man, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be to see Jesus, to be with Him. But I'm hoping that somewhere I see Carville Bible Church high-fiving each other. Woohoo! You know? Because of the fruit, because of the things that you saw God do while you were here in your short little flash. Your short little flash in your life. Do you believe that? Do you desire that? God's doing some neat things across the city. I moved to Memphis 5 years ago. After 3 years before that. So 8 years ago is when He started to change my heart towards disciple making. And I read one morning, I was in the end of Judges. And it says, in those days, every man did what was right in his own eyes, and there was no king for Israel. So there's no king, and every man just did what was right. They just had freedom. They just made up their own systems and their own ways and just kind of did things as they thought was right. And they usually did things as they compared themselves to others around them, right? And then the Holy Spirit is speaking, Zach, you need to listen up. I'm about to give you something big here. This is for you. And then that same morning in my reading plan, I'm in Matthew 28. And I come to this little part, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And behold, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. And the Holy Spirit says, Zach, listen up. This is for you. And it was the first time that I read that text as this is for Zach. To listen and to obey. And I asked the Lord, have I ever made disciples? I'm thinking through my life, You know, thinking through my life, my short little 21 years, 22 years at the time, have I ever made disciples? Have I ever led someone to Christ, baptized them, and taught them how to obey Jesus? And the answer was a big fat no. No, I've never done that. But Lord, if this is for me, what does this even look like? Where do I start? I want to be a part of this. I want to do this little Great Commission thing. It seems really exciting, but I don't know how. So for about a year and a half, I searched for someone to teach me how to make disciples. And I had some older men kind of invest in me, different pieces to help me grow. But it was a little training that I went to. I didn't want to go to it because I'd been to a lot of conferences, and I thought this was a conference, not a training. And I started to kind of see this pattern that conferences were kind of like youth camps for adults. You know, we'll get pumped up about something, and then we kind of go back to normal life. But there was this little training, and this humble man named Jeff Sundell, wearing holes in his jeans with a Harley-Davidson t-shirt, just started talking about what he had experienced in India. And he was a missionary from India, and he had seen literally tens of thousands of churches started, hundreds of thousands of baptisms across South Asia, amongst his team and other teams that he was influencing, coaching, and learning from. And this inspired me. Wow, this sounds like Acts. This sounds exciting. And so we went over these simple little tools, how to share the gospel, how to start a spiritual conversation, how to lead a Bible study, how to invite someone to look at some stories of Jesus to see if we can make some spiritual discoveries. And it was those little tools that started to give me the confidence to actually do what I was wanting to do, right? So fast forward, that was 7 years ago. It was 5 years ago that I moved to Memphis to tackle Memphis. The Lord led me to come to Memphis, and I moved to the center. I moved right near the University of Memphis because that's kind of the center of the metro area. And I wasn't married at the time. I'm married now. I've been married for 2 years. My wife, she's sleeping right now. She just didn't want to come hear me preach. I'm kidding. She worked last night. She's a nurse. She was delivering babies last night at Methodist Germantown. But I moved to Memphis and found a co-laborer, Ron Surgeon. And we just have been training, and God is answering our prayer every day. At 10:02, my alarm goes off, and it reminds me to think of Luke 10:2, where Jesus says, "Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers into the harvest," right? Pray earnestly to send out more laborers into the harvest, right? And so we've seen God send out more and more laborers. And the laborers are found in the churches, which is exciting. And they're also found amongst the lost. So there's in Memphis metro area. I can't preach without sharing with you about Memphis and the brutal facts of lostness that are right around us. Memphis has 1.4 million people in the Memphis metro areas. North is Millington, south is Hernando, go out to West Memphis, and then Carville, Lakeland. In this big bubble, we call the Memphis metro area, is 1.4 million people. And statistics say around 32% are evangelical, okay? So let's pretend that maybe 3 out of 10 people in the Memphis metro area are born again, okay? That leaves us with about 1 million people far from God, lost, dying, going to hell within a 30, 40-minute drive of us. 1 million people. We crunched some numbers this past summer to find out roughly how many people die every day in our city that are far from God. If you consider the statistics of evangelical Christians, population growth, a lot of other factors, about every 80 minutes someone dies and spends eternity apart from God right here in our hometown. Every 80 minutes in that bubble, roughly every 80 minutes. And I know it because when I go visit my wife at the hospital, sometimes, and I'm walking out, many times I'll see people just wailing, crying in the lobby because they just lost someone. And I know that not every single one of those people were born-again believers. Right? So that is a burden that's on my heart every day. that the Lord wants to bring His kingdom to the Memphis metro area and to the nations and beyond. He wants to bring His kingdom here, right? So what has He called me to do? To just train people, equip the body, and how to practically make disciples and multiply His kingdom. How to work and focus on the controllables and not the uncontrollables, the things that we can do, we can get better at, we can choose to do to be more effective and fruitful when it comes to disciple making, but also trust the Lord of the harvest to bear the fruit, to bring it out of the harvest, to work in people's hearts, right? So that's what I've been doing for the last 5 years, just training and also going out in the harvest. In the beginning, it was just Ron and I knocking on doors, sharing the gospel, sharing with my coworkers, my family. I got to see my sister come to Christ, her boyfriend come to Christ, both of them baptized. And my sister's boyfriend ended up leading 12 different guys to Christ and baptized all of them. And I began to see God move, and He's doing the same thing across the city. He's doing the same thing amongst people in the city. He's putting His heart on people. They're getting excited about the gospel and His kingdom going forward in Memphis. So guys, that just has to come out of me, okay? I have to share this with you. That's my heart, and it's the Father's heart. And He wants to put that same heart for His glory on your heart. He wants you to have a zeal for His name, for His glory. Do you believe that? Do you want that? I hope so. So Nick, a couple weeks ago, asked me to preach, and this is not my comfort zone, by the way. I traveled with Life Action Ministries for about a year as a youth evangelist and preach about 8 times a week, but that was 7 years ago, and since then I've moved towards really just training and kind of being behind the scenes where I'm way more comfortable. But preaching a classic sermon in front of a church, I feel like a fish out of water now. It's been a while. And so I'm thinking, all right, what am I going to preach on, you know? I used to really think really hard about my sermons, you know, getting this great sermon. And then also dealing with really wanting to please people. You know, I want you to leave here this morning going, man, that guy was great, you know? He just preached a great sermon, you know? And so I'm wrestling with that. And so I've been asking the Lord the last 2 weeks, Lord, what in the world do you want to say through me to these people, to Carville Bible, this special church right here in Carville? What do you want me to say, Lord? So I'm like, Lord, give me something, you know, give me something. And I was tempted to go back to 6 years ago and pull out some old sermons that I knew really well, right? You know what I mean? If you preach, you know what I'm talking about. And just make it easy. Just show up and pull out an old thing out of the bag and just give it to you, right? But the Lord didn't want me to do that. And then I thought, wow, what do we need today in the church? And me and some other co-laborers that are other church planters in the city, we've talked the last, I don't know, it's been like a year just talking, what does the church need? If we could give one big message, if we could give them a megaphone and speak to every church in Memphis, what would we say? What would we say? One of the themes that we talk about is abide. Man, that's a big topic that the church needs to learn how to abide in Jesus, be connected to Him, have a relationship, a connectedness with Jesus. You know? How to listen and obey. Just simple stuff. There's so many people in our church that aren't listening to Jesus and obeying Him on a daily basis. So that'd be one thing. So I thought, okay, maybe I should preach on abide. Another thing is just good old classic repent and believe. I wanted to see, I wanted to think of a passage that had to do with repent and believe. I thought, oh, that's it. We just need good old repentance and faith. There's so much sin in the church. So we've talked about, man, everyone just needs to hear to repent. Just like John the Baptist, he shows up on the scene. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. He prepared the way for a movement for Jesus. And I thought, repent. That's what I'm going to preach on. Repent. Repent, believe. We just need to repent. We've got so much sin and junk in our life. We can't be used by God because our vessels are so dirty. You know what I mean? So then I thought, well, make disciples. Man, if we could tell every church to do something that they're not doing, make disciples. So I thought, man, I'm going to preach a sermon on make disciples. Let's just think of a story of someone making disciples, maybe Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch or something like that. Encourage you guys to make disciples. The church needs to make disciples. Very few people do that. Very few. I don't know what the statistics are, but very few. Make disciples. And then I thought, well, maybe we just need a sermon on the glory of God. We've talked a lot about that. To call people to realize the glory of God. If we just understood His greatness and His glory, and we fell in love with Him, and we are obsessed with His glory, then, you know, it would get us right, get us down a healthy path. So I thought, let's just preach a sermon on the glory of God. You know? And honestly, guys, nothing came out. Nothing of those four or five things I just mentioned were like, yeah, this is the one. And so it was this morning that I got up and just spent time in the Word in prayer. I'm like, Lord, give me something, please. And I told myself not to do something that was really about training or four fields or the kingdom, you know, because that's what always comes out of me. But the Lord ended up leading me to Mark 4, and that's what we're going to look at. Okay, so if we go to Mark 4. Mark 4, the parable of the sower. So this is a parable I'm pretty familiar with and been studying, meditating on, teaching for, I don't know, a while now. And I didn't want to do something that I was so familiar with. I wanted to preach something that was new and fresh to me because I learn a lot when I have to teach or preach on something new. It causes me to study and make sure I don't say anything stupid or wrong, you know. But when I started to look at Mark 4, the Lord just kind of said, go check out Mark 4 this morning. I just flip over there. I don't know why. And I started to read it and I'm like, wow, all those things I just mentioned can be found here. Making disciples, repent and believe. It's in this passage. It's a special passage. It's a unique parable because Jesus actually gives an interpretation of this parable when his disciples ask him. Many of you are familiar with it, and I would love if we could just read it. But before I read it, I would like to ask the Lord to give us a fresh pair of listening ears. A fresh pair of listening ears. Because if you don't listen, if you don't receive, you're going to miss out big time. And I say that because Jesus said the same thing. He knew that he was preaching and teaching to people that didn't have ears to hear. And I'm hoping that you do whatever it takes in your heart this morning to listen. Please listen to what Jesus is saying here in Mark 4. Let me pray. Lord, I just ask right now for your Spirit. I ask for your help. I ask for your help for me. I ask for your help for this church. Lord, that you would give us ears to hear your word. It will settle deep in our hearts. God, that it would bear fruit. It would not return void, Lord, but it would return with fruit and obedience, God, in our life. Lord, what do you want us to hear tonight or this morning? What do you want us to hear, Lord? God, I pray if there's any conviction that needs to happen in our hearts this morning, that it would happen, that we would not leave without meeting with you, without you speaking to us. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. We need your help. We pray for fresh ears to hear. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, here's the parable of Mark 4, verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And as he was teaching them, he was teaching them many parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen! There's an exclamation mark in my Bible. I don't know if y'all have that one. Listen! Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, and where it did not have much soil, And immediately it sprang up, and since it had no depth of soil, And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So here's the parable. There's a huge crowd at the Sea of Galilee, okay? Massive crowd. So many. He's got to get in the boat, so he has some distance. He can actually, he can project his voice. Here's this massive crowd. And he says, "Listen." And he gives this parable. I was thinking this morning, if I heard this parable without an explanation, absolutely, I would be right with the disciples. What do you mean, Jesus? What in the world is this talking about? Jesus says, "Listen, this is huge. I want you to hear this. A sower goes out and he sows the seed. And some of the seed falls on this path. And the birds immediately come in and take the seed away." He said, "But there's this other soil that the seed landed on, and it was amongst this rocky ground. And the seed landed amongst the rocky ground, and it began to spring up, but it didn't have very much soil. And when the sun came, it scorched it, and it withered away. But some of the seed landed on thorny ground. And when it began to grow, the thorns came up and choked it out and caused it to wither away," right? But some of the seed, it landed on good soil. Good soil. And it started to grow, and it bared fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I'd be scratching my head, "Lord, what do you mean? What is this?" And sure enough, the disciples, they said, "Jesus, you got to explain this one. This is hard for us to understand." And Jesus says this. In verse 10, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, 'To you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside is in parables, so that, quote, they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.'" Guys, do you notice where Jesus says that he's given them a secret of the kingdom? A secret. This secret is recorded in the Word of God, and it's been given to us today. How amazing is that? That Jesus explains to his disciples in private that he's teaching them a secret of the kingdom, how things work. It's kind of like opening the hood of a car and seeing, what's causing this thing to run, to work, to do all these things? He says, "Here's the secret." Okay. We have the privilege to be given the secret. And then he quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Remember when Isaiah, he encounters God at the temple on an unexpected day. And he's just overwhelmed by God's glory. And he says, "Woe is me," right? He realizes his sin. He's convicted. He's just unhindered. And he says, "God, here I am. Send me. I'll do whatever it takes. Send me. Let me be your vessel. Let me be your servant. Send me." And it says this, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here I am, send me,' Isaiah says. And he said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed.'" So Isaiah was sent to a people that didn't repent, right? And here Jesus is quoting Isaiah. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Isaiah 6, verse 8. So here Jesus is quoting Isaiah, and he knows that there's people amongst that huge crowd that are just like the people that Isaiah was preaching to. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have eyes, but they do not see. And my prayer this morning is, Lord, may there be no one in Carville Bible Church that has ears, but they're not hearing. Has eyes, but they're not seeing. They have a heart that doesn't understand. So Jesus says this in verse 13. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? If you don't understand this one, how will you understand any of them? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word and proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So thank you, Jesus, for giving us an explanation, because I would be lost probably without this. He tells us exactly what it means. He says there's four soils in the kingdom. Four soils, right? The first soil is where the word of the Lord, okay, is sown on a path, but the birds come in and they snatch it away. And Jesus was saying, these are those who hear the word, but immediately Satan comes, snatches the seed. It's nowhere. Nothing happens, right? The other soil, the rocky ground, the word is sown, and they receive it with joy. Woohoo! Yes! Salvation! I believe! I want Jesus! Right? But it says, trials, tribulations, persecution starts to come in. Wow, this Christian thing's kind of hard. Wow. And then it causes them to be unfruitful, right? To wither away. And then it says, some of the seed were sown among thorns. And these people even receive it with joy as well. Woo! Yeah, I need that. I want that. I want to follow Jesus. But then the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches come in, and it causes that seed to be unfruitful. But then it says some of the seed is sown on good soil, and the soil bears fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. So, one of these guys back here, I forgot your name, brother. I'm sorry. He asked me, what's the title of your sermon this morning? I'm thinking, oh, I didn't really have a title for my sermon. Maybe it could be, what soil are you? What soil are you? Or what soil am I? What soil am I? In America, I think there's one of these soils that is pretty common. There's two. We see all of them. We see those that hear the gospel, that hear the word, but there's nothing there, right? It's like throw the seed in the soil and it just spits it right back out, right? These are those that don't care. Their heart's not ready, right? They haven't received anything yet, right? But then some, they receive. We receive the word, but then we get persecuted. It's really difficult. It causes our family, maybe jobs, something, right? this soil we don't experience too often. Overseas, this soil is experienced all the time. In Turkey, I've been to Turkey a few times. Turkey, by the way, here's a statistic for you. Over 75 million people, only around 5,000 believers. 75 million people, only about 5,000 believers. I was in one city a couple years ago called Konya. 1.4 million people in the city, just like Memphis. There's 5 known believers in the entire city. I just want to tell you that so you are aware that there's cities like that around the world, right? But those believers, they actually were very unfruitful, these 5. Why? Because they gave in to, they're scared to death. They're scared to death to share the gospel. And so the persecution, the fear of being killed has caused them to not multiply. Those 5 same believers have been there for years and years. That's a reality, right? That's a reality. But there's this other soil, the one that I think is pretty common. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, right? The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. If I'm going to be honest, it's this one that causes me to be unfruitful. Okay? Big time. America is a busy place. If you've been to Africa, been to India, life is a lot slower there, a lot more simple. America, boom, boom, boom. Busy, busy, busy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. You know? Work, work, work. And the cares of the world, they come in. They cause the seed to be unfruitful, right? Jesus knew that his audience had a range of people. There are some people, they're not even getting what he's saying. There's some people back there just like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. They're just judging him the whole time. They're not even close to wanting to receive. You know what I mean? Some of them, they want to receive it, but they know it's going to cost them something, maybe some trials. Maybe their family's going to reject them. There's some in there going like the rich young ruler, I'm going to have to give up these things that I like, or, you know, this path that I was on, maybe this status that I'm looking for. Wow. But the good soil is the ones that hear the word and they bear fruit. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on debating what the fruit is. I want to tell you up front, I believe it's both and. I believe it's bearing fruit of people. And I believe it's bearing fruit of like the Holy Spirit, right? Manifestations of the Holy Spirit, Jesus being our life, our character, right? That can be fruit, right? But also people, meaning making disciples, right? I think it's both. Okay. 30, 60, 100-fold. A few years ago, Jeff asked me, Zach, which soil do you want to be? I said, I want to be the 100, Jeff. I want to be the 100. But I can receive that with joy. May it be me, Lord. I want to be the 100. I want to bear 100-fold. But then instantly, the Holy Spirit is speaking, Zach, what is it going to cost you? What is it going to cost you to bear fruit? Is it going to cost you your time? Absolutely. It's going to cost you relationships. It's going to cost you a lot of things. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And guys, I'm deceived over and over. I'll just let you know, I'm deceived over and over. There's weeks that can go by where I can be very fruitless. That this is nowhere on my radar. Because I somehow woke up and thorns are all around me. I didn't even see them. You know what I mean? The cares of the world, they're constantly after me. And they're constantly after you. The deceitfulness of riches. Are you deceived? Are you deceived? Are you deceived? You know, people that are deceived, they don't realize that they're deceived. Isn't that funny? You could be in here and go, no, that's not me. I'm good. But you might be deceived. I don't know. you may actually be deceived right now and you don't even realize it. That's kind of scary, right? The deceitfulness of riches. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. This is the busyness of life. In America, one of the things that I've learned is people don't make disciples because they're really busy. They're busy with cares, with things, doing this, going to that, right? Other things that just begin to consume us, right? But the good soil is one that bears 30, 60, or 100-fold. Guys, do you want to be the 100-fold? Do you want to bear fruit? I think you have a choice. I think you have a choice to look at this parable, and you could say, woe is me. I'm just a terrible person. You know? And you can have all this pity on yourself. Say, yeah, I need to do better. That's not what we need to do this morning. You could look at this parable and say, Lord, I choose to be 100-fold. I want to be 100-fold. And this morning, I'm just going to humbly ask you to do whatever it takes in my own heart to bear fruit. I'm going to do whatever it takes to bear fruit. Lord, please, I need your help. I need you to do something in me. I need you to encounter me, because I will not bear fruit if I continue the way things are. If I continue how things have been, I won't bear fruit, especially 100-fold. I won't do that if I just continue where I'm at. So remember the whole repentance and belief thing that I said was on my heart, I thought we might need to hear? Look at verse 12. So that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Less is a weird word. We can replace that with should. They should turn and be forgiven. Guys, I think I just want to end with asking you two questions. What soil do you want to be? And what do you need to repent from? What do you need to repent from? And I'm talking about good old-fashioned repentance, okay? Good old-fashioned repentance. This is what it looks like. Lord, show me in my heart where I'm deceived. Show me where I'm being unfruitful. Show me what's hindering me. Show me the walls, the barriers, the stuckages, the blockage in my life. And I want you to reveal it to me. I don't care how ugly it is, Lord. I want to do whatever it takes. And I want to turn from those things. I want to run away from my sin. And there's sins of omission and commission, right? You might need to turn away from a bunch of junk that you're doing, a bunch of things that you're committing. But there's also sins of omission, sins that we do by not doing. So what do you need to do? What do you need to obey? If you could get your card out, I'm going to ask David, where's David, come up and play a song. On this card, guys, I gave you, there's a little note card on your seat. On the note card, I want you to find a pen, if you can, borrow one from a neighbor. On the front, I want you to write, turn from. Turn from, that's it, just write, turn from. On the back of the card, write, do. Turn from and do. One side, turn from. Back side, do. So this is an opportunity for us as a church to go to the Lord and say, Lord, show me, what do I need to turn from? What do I need to stop doing? Right? What do I need to stop doing that's causing me to be unfruitful? I don't know what sin is in your life. I don't know if you're looking at pornography. I don't know if you've got a sin of greed. You've got your anger. I don't know what is going on in your life. God does. So you have the privilege to say, God, I'm going to turn from this. I'm going to stop this. This junk is keeping me from abiding and being fruitful. The other side, Lord, what am I going to obey? What am I going to do? Right? So just write do and put it on there. What are you telling me to do? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's tonight I'm going to spend an hour with the Lord with no cell phone, nothing. I'm just going to get away. And I'm going to go spend time with Jesus and let Him work on some things in my life. It could be I'm going to pray for someone that I've been telling them I'm praying for them, but I actually haven't prayed for them. Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's share the gospel. Maybe I'm gonna get trained to share the gospel because I don't have a clue. I haven't done that in years. And I want to be obedient to sharing the gospel with my friends, my family, my coworkers. I don't know what it is. But ask the Lord, help me to be a person that would repent. Lord, give me the ears. I do not want to leave without having the ears to hear and a heart that would receive. What are you telling me to repent from? So church, please repent. 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 And as you're writing this, I also want you to believe. Believe that Jesus has died on the cross to take all those sins of commission and omission that are keeping you from being unfruitful, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, giving into the fear of man. He's died for all that. He's died for all that. He's taken the punishment that we deserve, that you deserve, on Himself so that you are forgiven. So if you go into this little thing that we're doing now with a burden, you don't understand what happened there. He says His commands are not burdensome. So please, do not let this be a burden. Go to Jesus. Say, Jesus, you're going to help me with this. I'm going to be vulnerable with you. And I am going to choose to repent. But I need your help to do that. Remember, guys, believe who Jesus is. He's died for you. He's taken your place. You are clean, holy, righteous, just, justified, set apart, blameless in His eyes. So let's just take a couple minutes. I want you to write on your cards what I need to turn from, what I need to do. Girl invited me to church when I was about 15. That's how I ended up really hearing the gospel over and over, and gave my life to Jesus when I was 16. And so, as a late teenager, I grew up in the church. And I've been in so many Sunday morning services, right? Many of you guys have as well. And there's so many times where the Lord speaks to me, even in a Sunday morning service. The preacher preaches, the word is given, but somewhere in there, conviction came. The Holy Spirit spoke. And I said, oh yeah, I need to do that. Oh yeah, I need to turn from that. Yeah, that's what I want to be like. You know? But then, that we're dismissed and we go to lunch, and the things that God was doing in my heart, it just kind of like just vanishes. That's why we're writing these things down. Right? What is the Lord telling you to do? I would like for us now to turn to one another and begin to pray. Just begin to pray. With your family, with your husband and your wives, or children, would you turn to one another? And would you pray for one another that God would help you to do and to turn, right? That if you want to be the hundredfold, if you want to bear fruit and not be like the first three soils, right? You would say, Lord, help me. And pray for one another, encourage one another, stir each other towards love and good deeds. Just like Hebrews 10:25 says, stir one another's hearts. So could you guys turn right now, get with someone, and pray for one another? And that's how we'll close. And in a few minutes after, I don't know, I'll just close this in prayer, if that's cool. Let's enter into a time of praying with one another out loud. You need to confess, this is a good time to do that. Lord, I just ask that you would hear the prayers of your people. Lord, that Now, if there's any of us that had ears to hear this morning, something you wanted to share with us, maybe it was just that you love us. You just want us to hear that you love us. We haven't been walking in that love. We haven't been abiding in that love, Lord. Maybe it's a sin that's been with us for a long time that we just have been stubborn and not let go of. Lord, I pray for freedom in this church, that, Lord, sin would be repented from. That we would just turn from our sin. Lord, I pray for fruit. I pray that this church, I pray for Cargo Bible Church, Lord, that it would be a church that has many examples of those that are bearing fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Lord, that we would not be deceived, Lord, by the cares of this world, the busyness of America, deceitfulness of riches, Lord, or persecution, the fear of man. Lord, I pray that these things would not overtake us, Lord, and cause us to be unfruitful. So, Lord, I pray for blessing. Lord, I pray for anointing. I pray for a power on this church that when they leave this building, when they go to their restaurants, when they go home, Lord, I pray that they would be your ambassador. They would walk in your spirit, Lord. And they would desire to have that every day. Lord, please help us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.